Hi there. This episode of The Wilds contains stories about self-harm and physical assault or abuse, and our podcast conversation also contains these topics. So please proceed with caution. Take care.
It's about to get wild on Post Show Recaps coverage of The Wilds. My name is Grace. I'm here with my co-host. First, Jess. Jess, how you doing?
Grace, I believe I asked you for hot sauce, not mild sauce, Grace?
Yeah.
Listen, what is this?
I'm an old woman just trying to do my job, so.
I would say the other thing, but it is so not safe for her.
Well, notoriously safe for work. Ariel's here. Hi, Ariel.
Oh, sorry. I was just drowning Ben Folds. I'm good, though. I'm here.
We won't be able to make it to the Ben Folds 5. More like the Ben Folds dive.
Yeah.
Because he's underwater.
Oh, no.
Well, we did it. We finished it. 8 episodes of The Wilds. We've watched it all.
I can't believe
it. And they definitely want a season 3 because they left us on a cliffhanger. A building on the edge of a building hangar?
Listen.
I don't know.
No, not a military hangar. Yeah.
I mean, no.
Why couldn't we have just killed Seth off? Why? Why is he around? Why is he here? Why does he have an evil little smirk? Like, it's so infuriating.
And then why is Hraf in handcuffs then if Seth is not dead?
Because he beat the crap out of him, I guess.
Crap out of him, yeah.
So?
And he threw the ore away. I can't wait to get to that part.
Get the problem.
Yeah. I guess they're pretty excited about a potential season 3, like escape the bunker situation where like it's Seth and Gretchen and maybe.
And you know, there's going to be romances between some of the girls and some of the guys. And you know what? You know what? I'm here to say, okay, I loved season 1. I was the person that was shouting from the rooftops about The Wilds season 1. Season
it's like
two?
They should have been at the end of the season. They were very quiet. They were stunned into silence on the rooftops.
Like, if season 3 is going to be like season 2, I don't need it. I'm sorry. I don't need it. I loved the girls' stories for season 2. But, like, I don't need these boys. I don't need any of them, right? They all can go. Every single last one of them.
What'd you think, Ariel?
You know, I was pleasantly surprised at how much I actually enjoyed the finale, but I think that's not saying a whole lot. Like, you know, especially in light of how certainly myself, but all of us seem to be feeling about some of the episodes, especially like 2 episodes ago, 3 episodes ago. But I love a good flash forward. I was very excited.
Oh, yeah.
I remember saying maybe it'll be in the future. I mean, I threw out a lot of different theories, so won't say like I called it. But
I thought that was not a flash forward.
Yeah, it was kind of a dream. But yeah,
it was. I couldn't tell.
I would tell you, I was pissed when I found out that was not an actual flash forward. I was like, oh, they got a good wig for Shelby.
Hey, but Ariel. Matrix.
Who's to say?
Matrix references.
Who's to say? Right. But I'm saying, who's to say that it's not still a flash forward, even though
she
it
woke
ended
up.
In the. But still, she
a lot of what multiverse.
What if it was a flash forward up until that point where she woke up?
I actually do think that could be a possibility. Actually,
but then why would she be like? But what about Marty? Because Marty is fine.
She's just being emotional about Marty.
I don't know about that.
I don't know. Honestly, if it wasn't a flash forward, then I'm a lot lower on the finale than I was before this moment.
There are so many things that I have to say about my main situation here is loved all the Leah stuff, loved all the girl stuff. That's the thing. Get rid of the boy stuff and we have a good season. We have like 4 episodes of a season, but we have a decent season. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't need the boys, I guess is what I'm trying to say. We could have done all this without the boys because there was only like 1 or 2 storylines with the girls that I was like, The rest of it, I was all here for, and especially the Leah stuff. And so then we had all this nonsense boy garbage that no one cares about. For a second, in the beginning of the episode, I was like, oh my God, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it. And then we went to the boys' beach and I was like, I'm not feeling it.
No longer.
I think
I didn't mind the finale. I think that I am certainly higher on the prospect of season three than it seems like you are, Jess, because I think there is enough with, I still like the girls a lot more than the boys, but I think there's enough with the boys that I am kind of excited about, like, this. I got pretty excited when they're like running through the halls and they like enter the like fake prom that got set up. Like, I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. I like this. I think I like this. And like the girls being able to be the ones who are like, have more info than the rest of the, like the boys don't Ruff is like, no, I trust her. Let's go. And like, then follows her. I don't know. I thought it was kind of fun and kind of got me excited for what a season three could look like, because I mean, I know that they're keeping Seth around, but like, for the most part, I feel like now that you've just squarely put him in the Gretchen camp and the Gretchen side of things, like, that's the tension of season three. So he's evil, Gretchen's evil. And then you have all the nice kids in the bunker trying to escape.
I think my problem is that my expectations for season two were just so extremely high, and then I felt disappointed with the result, so that for a potential season three, I'm just very nervous about what it would look like, because if we get to this whole like tropey, like, oh, we're gonna have the girl, like, oh, someone's gonna fall in love and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
like,
Ruff is going to prove to finally get Leah over Jeff.
Aww. Yeah, I could see it.
Mm-hmm. Love, true love, right?
Yeah. No one cares about Marisol.
No more Marisol.
No, bring her back. Bring her back.
I don't get to be on the show anymore. Oh, no.
No. Where are my bracelet?
She's over the border.
I think I'm just like, what I end up doing is just Kristen Wiig's like old-timey celebrity voice. I think is what I end up doing when I do this.
Oh, like what she did. Yeah. Like what she did, Liza. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was the episode. Should we talk about it in depth?
Yeah. It's all called right. Exodus, and it finally has a better name. Mm-hmm. So there's a win.
Yeah, I'm glad there wasn't a slash in this name.
Mm-hmm.
We start off at
two slashes. They make an X.
Sorry, oh, Exodus.
And what is that? A hug or a kiss?
Exodus.
Is it a hug or a kiss?
I'm gonna spit out my drink. Yes. I've learned that it's a kiss.
There you go.
Is it a hug?
It's not a hug.
They're both wrong. They both feel. I feel like the logic of that. In both cases, there's one that doesn't make sense. Like the hug and the kiss both make sense as the O. The X does not make sense as a kiss. The X does not make sense as a hug.
The X means like, don't kiss me, don't hug me.
Oh, then triple X means
you gotta do a lot more. All of the things. Hug and kiss me and all the other things.
No, little Jagger. Just to pause it, I had just in case you're not a Heartstopper listener, that I had a very bold claim on the pod that Matt Scott would like took as like at face value.
Yeah.
And immediately everyone was like, Chris, I think you're wrong. Like, I don't know. Like, you sounded pretty confident, but I think you're wrong. And I was like, yeah, I'm wrong.
But you said it with such confidence.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's a lesson to all you folks. Say things with confidence and people will just believe you.
Yeah.
So we start the episode at bar and Shelby is singing. Shelby on wig watch. Amazing wig on Shelby. Looked great. Shelby looked killer here. She's drinking. So we know she's like probably over 21 where she snuck in and she's drinking. She's singing a song called Martha, by the way. For two souls she loved in life that brought her out of the dark, she lost both of them. And the song is by Tom Waits. And I was like, ah, flash forward. I got like so amped. I got so hyped. I was like dancing. I was like, yes. Because then we see Tony come in and she has a glow up and she's drinking a beer and they lock eyes on each other.
Shelby does a good slow sing and single tear drop down.
Amazing.
Amazing makeup work. Like when you see the tear sliding cut through down. Like the I guess
foundation.
Some of the mascara and the foundation. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the song continues like, there were no tomorrows, we'd pack away our sorrows and we'd save them for a rainy day. And so Shelby finishes and she just does like the 5-minute motion to Tony. She gets off stage and Tony's like smiling and we're like, yay. But then Shelby goes back into the dressing room. I think that's what they're called, dressing room. And Gretchen walks in dressed like she's from the effing Matrix, glasses and all.
Ariel, are you excited? I mean, I don't think, is Gretchen a good, you know?
I was scared. No, she's not a good Morpheus. I was scared because I was like, oh no, now Gretchen is going to stop Shelby from connecting with Tony here. To, you know, give her some stupid mission. But then she just gives her Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah, she holds out one blue and one red Sour Patch Kid. And then
it's like clever, but also it's not Shelby who eats the Sour Patch Kids.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Because how does Shelby know about the Sour Patch Kids? She doesn't.
I don't know.
So she wakes up in the bunker and I was like, are you effing kidding me? This wasn't a flash forward. And I was pissed.
I'm pissed now because I was fooled.
You fool.
You fool.
Finish him.
Finish him. I'll finish this flash forward.
That was really sad. I would have liked this. I loved the connectivity between, you know, her losing two people, both Tony and Marty. And the song is called Martha. And it just made a lot of sense to me. And we've seen Shelby sing before. So it would make sense that she was like singing in some dive bar.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said,
sad for the like independence future that Shelby, the path she carved for herself.
Yes, for independent cinema. Oh, so sad.
Sure, support the arts.
PusherRecaps.com/Patreon. Then we're back on the island, and Shelby and Fatten go to the spot where the pit was, and the dirt is a completely different color. And I'm like, Leah was so obsessed with this. How did she not notice this when she went there before? Like, it's a really dark brown.
Completely different color?
I mean,
or like
a completely different
kind of
shade of brown.
Kind of a different color. Yeah. If we're still calling it brown, I don't think we can say completely different color.
Listen, Grace, I have an eye for this thing, okay? It was a really dark brown.
Okay.
It was like the difference between like and like a black coffee and like a creamered coffee.
I don't
like light and sweet or like
no, not light and sweet. Like one creamer in your coffee.
I don't drink coffee, so I'm just like I eat sugar.
Oh, really?
So I'm like yeah, coffee is like it's too much and like with the acid and it's just I can't. I get like jittery.
I like three. I think I'm drinking enough coffee for the both of us.
How do you take your coffee, Grace?
A little bit of milk.
No sugar?
I have type 1 diabetes.
Oh, right. You can't.
I can. I choose not to because it spikes my blood sugar, but I could take insulin. That's a misconception about diabetes. You could.
Okay. I couldn't have sugar. I could deal without creamer. I cannot deal without the sugar.
My whole family, nobody puts, it's so we never bitter. Really put sugar in our coffee, so.
Yeah. Every once in a while when I used to be more hungover more often, I love like a street, like a New York City street car coffee. Like
I love bad coffee. I love a good, like, I love a good like diner coffee that I think it's been on the burner for too long.
Huh? Yeah,
like
this is burnt.
Yeah.
This is gross.
I love it.
But that's why you need the sugar. You're like, yes, thank you. It's yeah, sugar water.
Listen, I'm not like a bougie coffee drinker. Like literally I buy the Dunkin' Donuts like bags of coffee because they're my fave. But that like burnt diner coffee is gross.
What do you can't say, listen, I'm not bougie, but you all drinking burnt diner coffee. Pretty bougie.
I got
pretty
the DD.
No, it's gross.
No, listen, when you go to a diner, what are you going to do? Bring the Dunkin' Donuts bag and be like, make this, wink.
Do you say wink when you wink?
Yeah, no, I mean, I had to on the pod.
I don't know. I love bed. Like I've been at a conference for 2 days where it's just like bulk produced coffee. And I just
you're living your best life. Do you like a flavored coffee though? Because I love a flavored coffee.
Not really.
Like
nothing.
Strawberry? What kind of flavor?
Nothing. Nutty.
I'm sorry.
I was thinking
Ariel,
syrup.
What?
I was thinking syrup. She said diner. She said diner. So I was thinking like diner. And then I was like, ooh, IHOP. And like,
Ariel
they have
really
like,
has never
syrup.
Even seen coffee in his life.
I like never had. I'm like Jeff pretending to be human. I was like, coffee.
Like,
what is this?
What is this brown liquid?
Jess, I'm just remember when we used on Yellow Jackets to be like, the iTunes were just like, yeah, they I came for the finale and they talked about like diner coffee for like 15 minutes. So, you know, one star.
One star. Listen, if they last up your piano, then they can handle this.
True.
Yes.
So anyway, so the dirt
a beach just drink some coffee.
A beach is tired, so you need like a little coffee.
It's tired, and they need coffee. Yeah. Extra sugar. And so yeah, so Fatten, of course, again, Fatten with the amazing lines. It's just like you're really good at escape rooms, aren't you? And Shelby's just like, I'm incredible at them. Actually, give me everything you have.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when Fatten brings up Shelby taking the red pill. So we have more Matrix references here. And like almost immediately to the point where I was like, okay, Fatten, like, okay, Fatten, how long have you had this notebook? Because like Shelby took that notebook and immediately was like, this is a map of the whole island. Fatten, girl, did you even bother looking through these pages?
Fatten's no artist. She's like, nah, paintings.
I mean, I don't think I would have caught it.
Snake. It's a snake. You're like, oh, look at these pretty pictures. I don't know. They're malnourished.
I wouldn't have caught it, I don't think.
I don't know. I would have been intrigued by the lightning bolt.
Sure.
So then we have Rachel is singing Juicy to Martha because that is what Tony, like, that was a thing from season one. Tony and Marty sang it together. And so then Rachel and Tony start singing together. And Tony's like, listen, I want to like try to take Marty in the water again. This is when Dot comes back and she says she'll help. And so they all three of them are back in the hot springs. And Tony tries to apologize to Dot, but Dot is immediately like, no, listen, like, don't worry about it. Don't apologize. And she tells a story. When her dad got really, really sick, she went to Taco Bell and the cashier gave her the wrong sauce. They gave her mild instead of hot. And she got all up in her face.
She got real hot. She got real hot about it.
Real hot. She got all up in the cashier's face. She called her a load of, you know. And she said, your mom should have swallowed that. And she's like, the cashier was 70 years old.
Uh-huh. Which made her mom like at least 90.
Can you imagine what if her mom was the next cashier over?
Hey, don't talk to my daughter like that. Hey,
is that your old lady?
How dare you?
How dare you, young whippersnapper, talk to my daughter like that?
Young red snapper.
Young red snapper. And I just, when I tell you, I full on died at this line in the show. I just died. It's so good.
It's very funny. Also, don't yell at customer service.
Don't do that.
That's bad fungus. That's bad fungus yelling at people, especially in the service industry.
Yeah. And if they're 70.
Yeah.
Well, right, I don't know. I'm not ageist. Whatever. Yell at whoever you want.
Right, right. Yell at everyone equally if you are yelling. don't single out old people.
Tony's like, how are we gonna get Marty to come back? And Dot's like, listen, we want my useless advice. You're in this for the long haul, so you gotta do what you want to do right now. So what do you want to do? And Tony's like, I want to scream my lungs out. And so they all start screaming, and apparently they're loud enough that Marty hears them because she like grasps Tony's hand.
I was laughing because I was like, what? Marty's going to wake up and be like, shut up.
Yeah,
this is sweet.
I thought what happened, like, I didn't catch, I don't know. I guess it wasn't like a guess for me, super obvious that she clenched her hand. I thought they looked, she looked, because she looks over and I was like, are they going to like show Marty like wakes up by screaming?
joins in.
Like they forget they're screaming and they forget to like hold their head up and she's like drowning. She's
under the water. Uh-huh.
You actually do a
just that was really good.
You could do a very good drowning.
Really?
Yeah.
That might be your best one ever.
I've heard that I'm very good at onomatopoeias. So
that's right. Pow. That's your pow.
Yeah. Pow, bing, bing, boom.
Now you're just showing off. Now you're just showing off.
Wow, I'm gonna get a Just soundboard.
Hate myself.
Was that me or Jess? You could probably tell.
We have a bonus one where it's me just going,
What is the dealio with any of that?
I don't know.
So Leah hears them and she turns and Ben Folds is gone. So she attempts to slide back into the water and he grabs her arm and he's like, that's a bad idea. And he says he's a projection of her psyche. And then she tries to talk and they like talk at the same time. And he's like, ha, gotcha. And he tells her to be honest with herself. There's a part of her that doesn't want to go back. And she says, it's a dead end place. No one believes her. Maybe it's better she stay here where it all started. And she says she could pretend the island never happened. So she closes her eyes. And when she opens them, there are just like copies of Jeff's book and like life jackets just like floating all around her.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, the worst superpower of all time. I would copy Jeff's book.
You can conjure Jeff's book at any time.
As many copies as you need. Uh-huh. All with his stupid scribbles.
All with the scribbles. And she's wearing the dress, we should say.
She's still wearing that dress. Yeah.
Wow, Ben Folds, 3 episodes.
They got him.
He was like, you need to pay me for 3 episodes or I'm not doing it.
Yeah, he probably wanted to be on 5, but then he found out that they only had 8 episodes, not 10.
Oh, they cut 2 episodes.
And that's what he was originally supposed to be in the Ben Folds 5.
Yeah.
Well, he started to watch some of the episodes and he was like, you need to cut me out of some of these.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. And so Leah says she probably should have stayed where she was in the first place. And we get the vibe because she says it would have been on my own terms. I would have been alone. So like, feels to me like she is saying like she could have died on her own or died on her own terms. That's the vibe I got. I'm assuming that is the intention of what she's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, go ahead, Ariel.
No, I was saying that makes sense. In the moment, I was just kind of like, you know, somebody like Leah was like, oh, I don't deserve to be with anyone else. You know, I deserve to be alone and unhappy. But I can see what you're saying.
Because when you think about right before she went on this trip, she had gotten hit by that car and she was like not talking in the hospital. Yeah. And so she was like almost like a Marty situation where she wasn't saying anything to anyone. And so to me, it felt very like she was in so depressed.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. And so he says, stay here forever. And then there's like this piece of like floating wreckage again, very Lost vibes.
I totally forgot. I feel like in the streaming bit. I do feel like sometimes I do feel like I need to previously on The Wilds, and like, oh, a thing from season one, that's gonna be relevant this episode.
Yeah, you remember Leah got hit by a car?
I think I needed that.
I need it
only because I've seen the season one 3 times.
So many times.
We just watched this.
I'm trying to give you an out, Grace.
Sometimes I hate when shows do that because, like you just said, Grace, it's kind of like, hey, this is going to be important.
The guy from three seasons ago who was like in jail. Oh, yeah, I think he's going to be out of jail. You know, whatever. Like,
sometimes you need it.
I watch TV and sometimes I'm a bit of a dummy.
Listen, Grey's Anatomy is on season 18 and sometimes they'll be playing some old and I'm like, here we go. He's back. Like, I get super excited up front.
So she's laying on the wreckage. Meanwhile, Fatten and Shelby head towards what they think, like they see a lightning bolt on the map. And so they're heading that way. And at first I was a little bit weirded out by this scene simply because it felt very out of character for Fatten to ask if they should pray. But I guess like the sense of desperation, right? Like she just is like, there is a desperation here where she needs to like do something. And Shelby is very much like, why? Like, why would we? Which is obviously a very big change of pace from Shelby from season one. Mm-hmm. Fatten says it's because, you know, what we're doing feels impossible right now. So she begins to pray and she's praying with Muhammad's prayer for light and she's saying it in Arabic.
I loved this moment. Like, yeah. I actually got emotional watching it. And like, I've been trying to like verbalize like the reasons why. And I think part of it is like, to see Fatten so genuine here, like she's so snarky, she's so and not that she's not herself, but she's very like other people oriented. She's always commenting on other people. She's always making jokes. And like to see her here be so, I don't know, sincere. And there's something about like just hearing the Arabic language. It's so beautiful. It really touched me. Like there's something really beautiful about seeing Fatten like this. And I so appreciated it.
Yeah, I agree. I loved this. I like that it's a finale, right? Like we're trying to move. There's a lot of things going on, but I liked that they stopped down for like this moment. And it was really beautiful. Like, I think, I don't know if it was a song. It felt like a song. And I just loved it because you can kind of see like they're both like closing their eyes and like kind of looking up. And then Shelby joins too. And then it's at that exact moment that they open their eyes and that's when they see the cell phone. And it was just like, I don't know. I loved it too, Ariel. Like I thought it was a really great moment for like more because again, we're not getting the flashbacks for the women this season. And so to have a little bit of like her past come into play on the island, like, you know, a little speckle of like maybe something from back home was really nice.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's also like, I didn't really do it, but like Rachel found religion and like they found a hot spring and like, she's like, you know, been rather happy. You know, I think there's something about like, you know, the faith can help people. So,
yeah. And so, so Shelby starts climbing first. She's like really adamant about getting the cell phone, so much so that she falls and hurts her knee. And Fatten realizes immediately, again, Fatten being super intuitive here, knows that the reason she's doing it is because of Tony. And it's because Shelby feels guilty about the ship. She needs to make up for it. And she says, I never won't love Tony. I'll always love her. And she needs to do this for her to make things up for her. And this is when, man, all the Latin stands came out to play here. Cause Fatten says, ditto bitch, same sort of idea, different her.
Yeah. Speaking Latin.
Yeah. I wasn't sure what you're talking about, but like,
she's talking about Leah. She's basically saying
I watched this. I swear.
I'm just saying like for, people may not have realized, cause she's talking about Leah because she didn't believe Leah when Leah said about Nora. She kept calling her crazy and she's losing her mind and she's out of touch. And so Fatten feels guilty about that because Leah has been isolated with this information for so long.
What? It'd be hilarious if we went back. Oh, bitch. and air all your, you just realize all of your comments have been very generic. Like, I love this scene.
The scene with the two of them. The scene on the beach. Oh, amazing. Oh, amazing. Yeah. So much beach.
What great character work.
Fatten.
Was not.
Fatten. She's my favorite. She's the only name I know.
But yeah, I could easily see this being a like a big thing that Latin lovers glom onto. It sounds weird when I say Latin.
There's a wrestler from the 90s who's called the Latin lover, so that's all I can think. Yeah, I think more so than actually shipping them. Like, I think that's like, again, like, okay, there can be multiple LGBTQ people, but it does feel like that's Tony and Shelby. And I think what we could get next year, which could be pretty fun, is like the Leah Fatten like buddy cop team up.
Latin, you know? I get it now.
You came up with it.
I think you did come up with it episodes ago. Yeah.
Incredible. Thank you, Annie. Thank you, Annie Ariel, for
oh my gosh. Yeah, no, I agree with you, Grace. I don't think there's a romance thing there. I think the other thing people point to is that when Leah meets Ben Folds, it was like an episode maybe two ago, he talks about her old crushes and some of them sound like feminine names.
Yes.
And so pointing to Leah being potentially bi, meaning there's a potential there, right? But I agree with you, Grace. Not that I don't care if, like, I just more like I love them as friends. Like, I love their relationship now and I would hate for it to change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Fatten gets that cell phone. She just spider monkeys up. Gets that cell phone. That's the noise it makes when you climb.
Wow.
I know. So it's the noise it makes when I climb. I don't know what you all sound like when you climb, but you know. And so Leah wakes back up in the ocean. She says, I can hear them. And she says in 2013, she wrote in her diary that she would die for Ben Folds. It felt so real, or felt so true, but it wasn't.
It felt so real. Like, what? Or it felt so true, whatever. Folds. I mean, yeah. I get it. Like, it's very teenager, but like.
Jesus. Yeah.
I have a punchline for when you say, I don't know what it looks like you, what it sounds like when you climb, and I would like to jump back.
Okay, let's jump back.
I don't know what it sounds climb. Like when you climb. That's from Nice Hours. All right, sorry.
That's what it sounds like when you climb. Someone's just singing.
Yeah, that's me. I always, every time I climb, I sing Miley Cyrus, The Climb.
Stop. Yeah. Now I want to hear it. I want to stop down here.
You did just hear it.
Did you not just see Grace climb up the walls of her apartment? Like, that's what's happening.
Sorry, so, we can jump back to where we were.
Yep.
We can climb back. We can climb back.
Physical. Yeah.
So she says, it felt so true, but it wasn't. And then she says, but I would for them. And she looks at the island. She says she needs to go back. So, like, she, you know, she cares about them. She's like, I that wasn't true then, but it's true now. I would die for them. And so Ben Folds calls her a child. And this is when we get kind of like a montage of people calling Leah a child, namely Jeff. When he, I know, every time Jeff is mentioned, a butterfly dies, honestly.
A butterfly loses its wings.
No, it
does. Which I think leads to death. Yeah.
If they can't fly, how are they going to live, Grease?
Are they gonna get food?
No.
Crazy.
Plus, they're just kind of like caterpillars at that point, you know?
Yeah. Well, back into the
gold is new again.
The pupa, whatever it's called. The
pupa?
The chrysalis, you know, when they like transform. Yeah.
The pupa. That sounds whatever. Like a different thing from last episode. Anyway.
A pupa.
I don't know. Larva?
I don't know.
Yeah, they go through a pupal stage. Yeah.
So she knocks them both off of the piece of wreckage and she goes, "Why the F do people keep calling me that?" And so she starts swimming towards the island and then Ben Folds just boop, right in front of her. Pops him out of the water. He's right there. And this is my favorite because she grabs, can you imagine being Ben Folds in the scene? He's on it. He's like, he's a singer. And she just grabs him by the face and she shoves her face up against his face and she goes, "I am not a lovesick child."
I hope they have like a physical, or maybe the intimacy coordinator can now do it, because you know, now they look like that's like a,
yeah,
that's a new thing, you know, like they make sure that people, especially like in intimate like situations in the as characters, like this person is like a third party to make sure everyone feels comfortable. I hope they have someone to make sure that people chew gum in this kind of situation, or mints. That's always troubled me. It's like, oh god, I hope they brush their teeth. Like any actor is getting close to each other, I'm like, how do you know though?
Like that should just be like in your rider for when you work on TV shows. Like all my scene partners and that I get within a foot of their face have to eat a mint before their scene.
Especially Ben Folds. He's like,
"Oh my gosh, what's the matter with his face?"
No, I just meant especially he would have that in his
I thought you were like, "Ew, his stank breath."
Oh, right. Especially his face.
Notoriously bad breath, Ben Folds.
Yeah.
They don't call him the Ben Folds Five Gum. That's for sure.
Oh, that's a good one.
Thank you.
Nice.
I was proud of that one. Anyway. So she, all of a sudden she's back in her sweater. She's out of the cute dress, back in her sweater in the water. And Ben Folds says to her, "I know you're not." And then he like whispers, he's like, "But if others want to believe that, you should let them and use it."
"Why are you whispering, Ben Folds? There's no one here."
You could shout it and no one would hear you, Ben Folds.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, it was strange. Mm-hmm. But that's going to come back to play. Mm-hmm. So Fat and Shelby, I'm confused by this satellite phone. It takes like AAA batteries.
Isn't there a thing last season where somebody's like replacing batteries or something, replacing something? Doesn't one of them have to go do it?
Because of Nora?
I don't know. Maybe I'm misremembering, but. Yeah, I don't know.
It's just strange. But yeah, it has
like
a
big
antenna.
You know what they should get? Solar phones.
Ooh.
Not available.
With the beach piano.
DM me. Yeah.
So they sit down because Shelby's knee's hurting. And she says, "Can I be the one to tell them between my hair and my knee? You know, I feel like I should, you know, do something. It's a lot going on." And Fatten's like, "Yeah, you should take out your teeth and go for broke."
Wow. Fatten.
Yeah. Lots of survivor references.
Fat and spitting facts. I tried.
Facts.
Facts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sure. Yeah. Let's do it.
I tried.
And so Fat and girl, I love you, Fat and, but I can't. She says, "We should wait to tell them." And I lost my mind.
Well, yeah. What do you even do with the information, you know?
You tell everybody. Tell everybody immediately. You immediately panic and tell everybody. That's what you do.
Yeah, maybe.
It did feel a little like I believed and understood her, like whatever in universe reason, but it did feel a little bit like the show being like, no, you have to.
That's
wait.
What it felt like.
Oh, it's so that because everything in the bunker wouldn't make sense if Shelby later tells her. Yeah.
They boxed themselves in. So that Shelby had to know, but the others couldn't know.
Right.
And it didn't make sense to me. Fatten is not someone who hangs on to this information, especially especially from Leah. She knows Leah has been going through this alone, and Fatten herself has been the one saying to Leah, you gotta move on, you gotta forget it. There's no way she's like, nah, we shouldn't tell Leah immediately.
Yeah, that's probably right. Yeah.
I was upset by this. So she says it's a big deal, especially for Rachel because of Nora. We should handle it with care. Red pill party of two. And this is when we see Fatten saying, you know, Leah did all this alone. That's what's giving me life. Someday soon, I'll tell Leah she was right. Why not now?
Yeah.
Very upsetting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We actually could have still, there's still a world where Fatten could have talked to me, like, don't tell everybody, like,
yeah,
whatever, but I'm going to go talk to Leah, but like, don't, and like Shelby and Leah never even have the conversation because like, whatever.
Yep. We could have done that, but guess what? They didn't.
They did not.
One day I'll tell her, maybe in season 7.
So Tony, so we're back to the springs, and Tony's like, what if Marty's faking it?
the question on everybody's mind.
It's so good. And Doc's like, yeah, I need a break from these efforts. I'm out. And then she goes, the commitment. Okay, Meryl, the jig is up. I just love calling her Meryl Streep.
Meryl, so listen, because she's so good. She's like, this is your best act yet.
Yeah.
So Fatten and Shelby come back.
She takes off her mask and it's Meryl Streep.
Wow.
Where's that jaguar coming from? And so Shelby says, so Tony asks if Shelby's okay. Shelby says she had a run-in with a tree, which of course is a flash, you know, a little note. They smile at each other because in season 1, Tony smacked Shelby in the face with a tree. It's so cute. So Tony says she thinks Marty will be okay. And then Leah comes back and she's just straight up sopping wet. And everyone's like, girl, what you been doing? Like, what's going on?
It's fun.
So Leah sits next to Fatten, and Fatten starts to dry her hair, and she's just like smiley at her. And immediately Leah's just like, wow, you're looking at me like that. Which typical Leah.
It's cute.
So silly. Mm-hmm. And she says, you're the strongest person I know. And then like Leah like leans on her and it's like very sweet. And then Tony farts.
I mean,
I thought it was Marty, to be honest, when it first happened.
It might have been. Maybe Tony was covering for Marty because she was like, she knows that Marty would be embarrassed.
Ooh. I feel like if I was Tony, I would have been like, that was Marty.
It was Marty. Yes. Blame Marty. Yes. Yeah.
And maybe that would get her to come out of her comatose state to like, defend herself.
No, it wasn't me.
Yeah. I didn't fart. I'm just saying, I just felt like it was such a weird moment to insert a fart into the show.
I think they're trying to be like, what if
the girls, but boys, like they're acting like boys. It's
because they fart. Because girls don't fart.
It's dumb. Right. Exactly. Not on TV shows.
I've never farted in my entire life.
No, me neither.
So weird
that I haven't farted.
No, that they put the fart in. Like before the like moment where they're all gonna stare at the helicopter. And, like,
it's just like, wait. And it was like not. It was a loud one.
So do we think, yes, to that point that it was loud? Do we think the helicopter heard the fart and that's
how they got rescued? The
like, oh my god.
I definitely think that was what summoned. That was what summoned the helicopter was Tony's fart. So then of course the helicopter comes and yay, maybe we're rescued. Hooray. Oh my gosh, is that a helicopter? Okay, let's go to a quick ad break so we could just go figure this all out and also figure out who farted. Okay, we'll be right back. And we're back. Sad boys on the beach. No beach pianos for them.
No beach pianos. Really lighten the mood. Yeah.
It would have. Can you imagine them just like, wait, no, what is it? That would have lightened the mood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Henry decides to sit down next to Roth.
Okay, I have, listen, okay. This is, I think I've realized one of my biggest TV and movie pet peeves is when someone like sits down next to someone, they start to be like, so my grandfather used to put butterflies in the jar. Or like,
did your grandfather though? Did he?
I know. Like, I once knew a man from Tallahassee who liked to eat chocolate after it was refrigerated, and you're like, why? Start a conversation normally. Like, why? They just say it. It's always written in a way that's like, we're gonna tell a story now, and we're just like, stop.
And it's gonna have a point.
It's gonna have a point. It's been the glorious metaphor. It's like, yeah. It's so annoying. It's so annoying.
Gather around.
No, it's not even. It's just like, all right, I'm gonna sit down next to you. It's like, so caramel tastes like the reason it does because I don't know. It's just like I get so annoyed.
I love these
so
examples Grace is coming up with.
Like, I keep thinking like I want that. Right. I want like that universe.
I want
like,
the full story.
I want to hear the rest of that story.
Yeah, I don't care about Volkswagen. Tell me about the caramel.
Tell me about caramel.
Yeah, a good one for that one. Yeah, it's Carl. Yeah, that's the
tell
point
me about
the story.
Carl, the guy who was named after caramel, but they dropped the.
Tell me about the caramel that they sprinkle on top of the Snickers to give it that look.
Sit down. It's like. You like sit down and like my aunt had a three-legged moose once. It was like, tell
oh my
story.
Gosh!
You're like, why?
Is that a true story?
And her name was Nancy.
Could a three-legged moose survive?
I'm sure it could.
Would it probably be better. Probably better than a butterfly with no wings, for sure.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. So he starts talking about his dad was obsessed with Volkswagen and then the Volkswagen Corporation cheated on their greenhouse emissions numbers and he cried in his Jetta. Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't know how Volkswagen could have done this. And he says, I know it's hard when it turns out someone or something isn't what you thought they were. He says, Seth always gave the best presents. He made coffee for my mom every morning. You're not stupid for thinking he wasn't great. So just don't feel stupid.
I mean, I see it.
I mean, I don't see like the corporation as a person thing. Like, I don't want to get into that, but like, it's just like, oh, I'm so disappointed in Volkswagen. Like, I could do without that part. But like, I do like this part of it where he's like, you know, it's that complicated, nuanced thing of like bad people still capable of good and doing good things. And like, how do you negotiate that for yourself emotionally? And like, you know, don't be so hard on yourself. Mm-hmm.
I thought a lot more of this storyline was going to be that. Like, I thought when the thing happened and Roth is like not believing him, that there was going to be a lot more of like, this was the main takeaway of like, people who do nice things to you can still be bad people. It's like what I thought a lot of this like season was going to be. It was not, but then we get it here, which I think is good. Yeah.
Yep. And so this is when Josh is like, super cheerful and he just like sits down next to Kieran. He's like, what's up, man? What's next? You're the leader. What are we gonna do? And Kieran's like, I'm not the leader anymore, bro. Everything went to shit on my watch. It's very true. And so then Scotty has like sideline commentary. He's like, oh, I'm so surprised that Kieran isn't barking orders. Jocko Malfoy, did you hear me, Raph? Did you hear that joke? Jocko Malfoy, did you get it? Or no, Ivan, sorry. Ivan, did you get my joke?
Check him out. It's okay.
It's not that good.
Not that good.
Then there's Kendall McDickhead.
That one's better.
It's definitely better. When you have the Mick in there, it helps. Mm-hmm. Karen O'Gutternuts.
Mm-hmm. That one's, yeah.
I don't know that I get that one that much.
I don't really get that one.
Yeah. The Poor Man's Macklemore.
Yeah, that one's good.
I don't know what Macklemore looks like. Does he look like Kieran?
What? Really?
I don't know. Am I getting?
You didn't watch the a thrift store video like a million times.
Are you talking about the song? My God, he does look like him. Okay,
and also the song where he's like, "Hey, I thought I was gay when I was young, but don't worry, I'm not. But I love you, gay people."
That's a song.
With the really good. The best part is like the chorus of the song is actually amazing. Like I can't remember the woman's name who does the chorus. It's really good. And then the rest of the song is just Macklemore being like, "Hey, I thought I might have been gay, but I wasn't."
Like, listen,
cool man, cool Macklemore.
He's like, I know. He's like, I know that the A in LGBTQIA+ stands for ally, but it's
ally.
No!
That's right. Okay. Yeah.
We were rooting for you.
I was rooting for you.
Yeah. No, I do where it's like, I'm gonna pop. So, didn't they sing that in season one? God, $20
in my pocket. Shelby sings it with Tony when they're
when they're peeing.
This is effing awesome.
Yeah.
I was trying to make a fart joke, but I couldn't get there fast enough.
when I was in third grade. I thought that I was gay. You're like, Macklemore, what are you talking about?
What a weird song. Okay.
He's like,
what do we think?
I'm great.
Which is the best one between Draco Malfoy, Kendall McDickhead, Karen O'Gutternuts, and Poor Man's Macklemore? I kind of like Kendall McDickhead.
Kendall McDickhead is the best one. Yeah.
I think Draco Malfoy is pretty great for me personally. Because it's he kind of looks like, I mean, the hair. I don't know. That one sounded more clever for me.
Yeah. And Bo's like, all right, man, that's enough. And Ivan's like, man, I miss his bro dog swagger. So then he's like, hey man, you want a frizz? And Karen doesn't want a frizz. But then Ivan throws
with
it
with the frizz? Like, no way.
He doesn't want a frizz. But everybody else wants to do a pickup reference. Did
nobody else get? Nobody else got it? Is it
no.
Oh, Miss Frizzle.
Is it Miss Frizzle
or Mrs. Frizzle? Because I got into an argument with somebody the other day, and I was like, now I don't know.
With the frizz? No way. No, that's a good. No, nothing.
It's Miss Frizzle, right? Not like Mrs. Frizzle.
Yeah, but the theme song from High School Bus. With the frizz? No way. No, nothing. All right.
I don't know that part of the theme song. Get on Magic School Bus. Toot toot.
Beep beep. That's a different song. Toot toot beep beep.
that's not the same song. Anyway.
I can't believe nobody else knows what the frizz
is. One itty bitty.
What the frizz? What the frizz is wrong with all of us for not knowing that reference?
What's the deal?
No, not all of us.
What's the frizz?
Well, all of us, like Jess and I and and other people who are listening who didn't get it, minus all the people who are listening who did get it.
Listen, Discord and Twitter, I'm going to need you to come out for me on this.
No, don't roast us.
No, don't roast them. Don't roast them. Just have my back on this one. It's a thing that people know. The
unlike
reference.
The X's and O's. Okay. So then everyone joins in. They all start playing Frisbee. They're having a great time. It's all right. Everybody knows it. It's all right.
It's a good song.
I love this song.
Great. Yeah.
I wrote it in all caps in my notes because I loved it so much.
They're having so much fun. I like if I'm like, boy, if you had this energy with the boys,
Grace, I literally had that same thought when I was watching it. I was like, this is what I would have wanted to see.
Yeah. 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 Give me some of that. Yeah. Yeah. Give them some conflict, but not like the big conflict.
Sexual assault conflict.
Yeah. Just give me
the
Where's
the helicopter? And like what happened with that?
That's not the
I know. Yeah. But I want to go back to that. Like that's all my brain.
Watch this episode. I was like, wait, where's the helicopter that saved the boys?
Where's the fart helicopter that only appears when you fart?
So, Seth's back immediately to ruin the party. Seth is here. He's like, I need to show you guys something. Mm-mm. So then he like did something to Cake Blake, and he covers the boat in seaweed. And he's like, I just found it here. It must have just washed up on shore. I don't know. And then, like, Kieran's like, shut up, man. Shut up. We don't want to hear what you have to say, man. Shut up. And so Bo gets it started. And Seth's like, oh, I should leave. I'll go try to find help. And Kieran's like, you're not going out solo. I don't care about your well-being at all. But I don't trust you to do the right thing because we all know what you did. And if you strand us here, no one will know what you did. And yeah, so Kieran's like, I'm going.
Gets clocked pretty quickly, which is good. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So Kieran's like, I'm going with you, man. And then Ivan's like, you're a historically bio duo. So, and I mean, obviously, we all knew Roth was going to be the one.
But Bo didn't have to say it. Like, it's like, what about Roth? Where did Roth go instead of one of us? What if Roth, so that none of the rest of us have to go, not me, but Roth could go.
Yeah. What about Roth though?
Come on. What are you doing?
And and Roth's like, okay, sure.
All
right. I'm in. So then they have awkward goodbyes. We have Kieran and Josh hug. Kieran does a weird ear flick thing to Henry. I don't know what that was about. Kieran and Ivan say F you to each other. And then he walks up to Scotty and just pulling out some more Sawyerisms, calling some fun size. It's on you, fun size. You're in charge now. And then they do this weird handshake. I've never seen them practice this.
I was like, so, when did they do this?
season two this? Was like, We got way less time. So they're like, okay, how about we'll do a thing at the end where like Scotty could be the leader. You're like, where did this come from? When once did we see like Scotty lead the group? Not once. Not a single time. And they're like, Scotty will lead the group and they'll have a handshake. And you're like, okay, sure. It doesn't make any sense. It's bad writing.
Nope. Makes no sense. And yeah, they do this weird handshake. Henry goes up to Roth and Roth wants a hug and he's like, I don't hug.
I love this. It's very good. Yes.
Yeah. And he's like, I have three things to tell you. One, follow the sun. Two, don't drink seawater. Like, obviously. Wait, what do you mean? And three, follow your instincts. And he like looks at Seth.
Dun dun dun.
So then we're out to sea and Seth immediately, they like barely even got started. And Seth's like, you should cut the motor though. Let it ride for a bit.
Well, Roth agrees with him. I don't know. I feel like
you just go. I feel like starting the motor lets out more gas than consistently keeping it on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know.
I don't know. Okay, yeah. So I know I can't drive, but I have something to say about cars. I know that when you're starting your car and turning it off, or like stopping and starting accelerating and then decelerating, like burns more gas than turning the car off outright versus, you know, whatever. But you have to start it back up.
So I feel like if you just turn it down, like drive slower to use less gas, because then you're going to end up having to paddle anyway. So you might as well get as far as you possibly
can. As they quickly learned.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So then.
Draco Malfoy.
So Roth. So he's pissed at Roth. He's like, don't backslide on me, man. You don't have to listen to him. And so then they're all rowing. And we don't even know. Like, it's really strange. We don't know how long they're out there for. We don't really get an indication. But Kieran gets like sunstroke and starts like throwing up. And then Seth decides now's a good time to be annoying. I'm going to start singing the scene theme song from Jaws.
Roth kind of gives a little smirk, gives a little smile. He's like, oh, that's Jaws. The other thing too, they're like, he's on his old movie bullshit. And I'm like, when was Seth the movie buff? Was that a thing? Did I miss that?
That was in the extra two episodes that they cut out. I don't know.
Stop revealing new information in the last episode. Annoyingly unimportant information.
When he was smirking about the shark thing, I was like, oh my God, he's the shark. He's the shark that bit Nora. Like, this is the were-shark stuff back again.
Oh,
he's like, I'm about to reveal myself.
It's not even the cleverest. It's not even the most well-known thing from Jaws.
No. I didn't recognize it at all.
You either need to say, you have to do the dunna, dunna, or you say we're going to need a bigger boat. Mm-hmm. Or with the frizz? No way. Classic Jaws quote.
There was a bird.
No, we're going to need a bigger shark. That's the classic Jaws quote.
I don't mean to like derail things, but we got an umbrella and I saw a bird just climb into the top part.
Oh, do you need
to... think it's going to live there?
Wait, where was this?
It's outside. Anyway.
Did you sing a song by Rihanna to this little bird? You can stand under my umbrella.
I thought I was going to say, I'm breaking dishes. I've been here. Yeah. That's a different...
Why would you break dishes around birds?
I was trying to think of a Rihanna song to sing.
Oh. Anyway, so they're rowing with the oars. So Kieran's pissed. He's pissed. He's like, you're back on your bullshit, man. I'm not having it. And so Seth tries to start the motor and it doesn't start. And so Kieran's like, you broke it. And
a completely reasonable reaction to this whole situation.
Completely. So he starts fighting Seth in a very small boat. And Kieran falls into the water. And so Seth starts trying to get the motor started again. He's like, we're going to leave him. He snapped, man. He's like, grab the oar. If he gets close, hit Kieran with it.
What the hell, Seth?
What is this? This is like the craziest escalation. Like, am I watching this on fast forward? What is happening?
The best part is because they try to build this tension. Like, oh, is Roth going to hit Kieran? No, absolutely not. He's just going to hit Seth. Like, Seth is being... a maniac.
We all knew what was going to happen here. Like every single last one of us knew exactly what was going to happen here. Yeah. What I didn't expect was he hits Seth, then he throws the ore in the ocean.
Only that once I beat the hell out of Seth.
What an idiot. What an absolute moron.
Silly. He should have at least thrown it out to Kieran to try to like to have Kieran like.
No, he literally just like shoving it away.
Hold on. There's something here. Moron, but you put M-O-A-R-O-N.
Oron.
Moron.
Moron. Yeah, we both did.
Nailed it.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so then he starts punching Seth. And then Kieran's like, wait, man, there's a boat.
He does tell Roth to stop. Kieran, who notoriously sent Seth off to be exiled with no food or water or fire, is like, stop killing him.
Stop killing him. Yeah. Yeah, there's a boat. So that that's how they get rescued.
They're going to need a bigger boat.
But it's the freighter. It's the freighter. Oh, no.
If they had a bigger boat, maybe Kieran wouldn't have fallen in the water, you know? So then we see Gretchen in the shower.
You call a Jess, you move on too quickly because
I'm so sorry.
You know what you call a phobia of ships?
Ready?
You know what you call a phobia? Yeah, you know what you call a phobia of big ships?
A freighter.
A freighter.
Oh,
nailed
damn.
It.
Mm-hmm.
You missed it, Ariel. I can't believe that.
I missed the boat. Damn it.
You did. Gretchen's in the shower. She's getting ready.
I don't know why I did. I don't like Gretchen, so I don't know.
It's like,
Gretchen.
It sounded like you got like, it sounded like you got like goosebumps. It sounded like you got goosebumps, but in the bad kind, like, Gretchen.
Yeah. We see her put makeup on her neck to cover up the part where she scratches anxiously. Then we see little letters get left under everyone's door. There's like calligraphy with their names on them. And we see Gretchen. Decisions made by Gretchen, I mean, always are confusing, but the fact that she decides to walk on a treadmill after she showers, after she's dressed in most of her suit, while smoking in these, like, they kind of remind me of those, like, sneakers that were the big craze that were kind of, like, weird shaped to, like, be good for your ergonomics or something. Those Skechers.
Skechers. I was like, Snickers. Scooters. Scooter McGavin. Shooter McGavin's.
Yep. No, Scoots and Goots.
I perked right up when I saw her smoking that cigarette. I was like, oh.
But give me the cigarette watch, Ariel. No, how is she no,
okay, yes. It's not great. Like, Natasha Lyonne, we need
it's
to
It's never
come up
great,
in here.
Ariel.
No, listen, I'm talking about the cool factor, right? Like, I'm talking like the Don Draper, the Natasha Lyonne Russian dolls of the world. You need a lesson because she could not look any more stupid smoking a cigarette.
Ariel, we do the top 10 ranking. We're going to have to do the top 10 coolest smokers.
Oh my gosh, no.
Yes. Smoke it. I smell that. I'm smelling that smoke.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
We do not endorse smoking.
We definitely do not smoke. It's terrible for you.
Honestly, a lot of times they have like these like fake herbal cigarettes on set. So really, I'm not endorsing real cigarettes at all in any way.
You're endorsing the herbal cigarettes.
The herbals, yeah. I mean, this is what I've been told about sets.
The herbals.
I only support gerbil cigarettes. The gerbils have a little cigarette.
And
they're on a
do
wheel.
They, like, do
on
they,
a
like,
little wheel.
Stuff them in their mouth and like keep them in their mm-hmm. cheek.
Puff them at the side of their mouth. Yeah. I think people either love or hate this podcast.
I don't think there can be an in between. I love it. Anyway.
Me too.
So Gretchen hugs Leah. You. It's you. I feel so guilty I stuck you in here. Let's go somewhere comfortable. So she asks Leah if she wants anything. And Leah's just like, I want a strawberry daiquiri. Like, girl, same. Always.
I love the strawberry deck.
Yeah. So she's like, I brought you in first because you strategize. You think. You're full of surprises. You're brilliant. And so Leah's like, I'm ready. What is this? And Grunge is like, listen, I could give you a grand narrative. It's an experimental initiative that will change the world. She's like, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Objectively, the last 50 plus days have turned you into a healthier, more powerful, more fully realized human being. You're stronger now. All of you are. And so then Leah's like, what about Nora? And she's like, oh, we already have a shorthand. You already knew that Nora's fine.
This is, yeah. I love this kind of stuff in general in shows when like the character that you, whatever, the character whose side you're on, in this case, like Leah, you know, in this Leah versus Gretchen, is just as smart or smarter. And then like, you know, has this kind of conversation, but this show, of course, can't help but like draw attention to it because it's so meta. It's like, ah, we're doing that thing now. You're so good at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Gretchen is like manic in this scene. Like she is loving this.
Do you think that, what do we think? Do we think Gretchen believes all of this, or do you think that this is selling this to Leah, maybe even herself, to like not get taken down?
No, she fully believes this. I think that after her conversation with Josh, where she finds out that like Seth was the sole reason that one didn't work, Leah is everything she wanted her to be and more.
Wait, but I was going to bring this up last episode, and then I was like, yeah, whatever. It's the very end of the episode. Doesn't finding out that Seth is the only toxic one actually disprove her entire theory? So why wouldn't she be that if they're actually like a nice little society?
I wonder if it's because they still were falling into masculine tendencies, like the, oh, we killed something, bash on our chest and hoot and holler.
Yeah, but then only because of one,
it's a hoot nanny. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like she, no matter what the situation is, Gretchen, I think, fully believes in this project. I think she buys, she's picking up what she's putting down herself. She is bathing in her own glories.
Yeah, and then the other thing here, I mean, we'll kind of get to it with like the end of the episode, but like is this phase 2 or 3 of the plan? And so this is actually So I feel like this is the start of phase 3, which is phase 1 is the island or you know, whatever. Phase 2 is the bunker interviews, and now this is like it does seem like they're going to be in some like thing in the
right.
bunker, like they're being, you know, whatever. So yeah, is this whole thing not even, it doesn't matter whether she believes it or whatever, because whatever she's trying to do, she's actually trying to like rope, like you talked about her being Leah being as smart, but in some ways I think that we might look back on this scene and be like, oh, this was part of the plan the whole time to like lure Leah into thinking that she was
getting away with something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess.
Maybe. I mean, my guess would be like, they didn't know how, like there was a plan for what phase 3 would be, and they needed to pivot faster. Like there was a way get to phase 3, yeah. And then it was just like, actually fine, we're just get there now because of Leah's interference.
Sorry,
but I'm not sure.
Actually, sorry, the start of Leah, because I do think the Ian stuff is all so like, yes, Gretchen I think has this plan for phase 3, but that's also the plan gets slightly ruined because now people know, like
the
FBI are on them.
Yeah, they change gears because of it. Yeah.
No, I think all of this, I don't think any, oh yeah, they change gears.
They have to. Yeah. That's at the end. We'll get to anyway. That scene. Cause that's different, but. Yeah.
Okay. Cause the engine stopped working. Remember? So they're like, oh, let's change the gear. See if it'll come back on the boat.
And then, ooh, that's boat. What it is.
Yeah.
Driving.
Yeah.
So
if you change gears, you use more gas. I heard from someone.
Mm-hmm. I've definitely heard that. And so she says you're stronger now. So yeah. So she knows Nora's already alive. And so then of course Leah asks about Marty. And she shows Leah a screen of Marty and Tony being reunited. So Marty comes in a wheelchair, and then she stands up, and they hug, and we all were so happy because Marty's alive.
I was
so happy. And I do, like, this does make sense. Like, this does track as to why we haven't seen Marty in the bunker scenes, because she's been recovering. So, like, this does track to me.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's true. They're like, they had to put her in the hot spring in the bunker, which was just like a tub.
Listen, the Wilds, can you just kill somebody, please
Seth,
kill someone.
I mean, Seth would be the one like that I
mean,
would want killed.
I think like they killed Jeanette. I can't remember her, is it Lynn? I remember her real name, so like, okay, whatever, but like stop telling me people are dead and they're not dead. Are you so annoyed? I mean, he's so annoyed. I'm getting very annoyed. Kill somebody. Do it.
Do it. You won't.
Do
I
it.
Want an actor to lose their job.
Oh my God.
Fire him. Get him. Fire him.
He can be in flashbacks. Right. But
or he could be the Ben Folds. He could be the fifth.
Could be a dream.
He could be the fourth and fifth Ben Folds, but it's him like appearing.
I just kill somebody. Kill him.
I want to kill somebody. I don't know, I tried.
So then we see them reunite and it's very sweet. Gretchen loves this. She's like, you weren't a girl. You were just a puddle over a forgettable man. You were a love fool when you landed here. And Leah is getting all up in her own stuff. Because Leah's just like, oh, was I? Because she says, oh, you're so savvy. You almost got my number. And if Leah at this point is just like, ha ha, this fool. She's like, how do you know I didn't? And so Gretchen laughs. You have so much effing moxie. Like, she is living for Leah right now. It's you and me from here on out. And this is when Leah notices a letter opener on her desk. And she, you know, Gretchen notices Leah noticing it. And she's just like, do it. Come on. Make me proud. And Leah is like, I don't need it. The damage is done. And so then Gretchen's phone rings. Go ahead, Ariel.
I got so worried for Gretchen's white outfit here. I was like, oh, no, yeah, not that.
Of all the things. I mean, this outfit is a choice. Yeah. Like, Gretchen is like, I am God. I am the angel.
All white, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, right. So her phone rings and Leah's like, oh, that's for you. I mean, obviously it's your phone, but you should probably pick it up. And then she's like, I think I should leave it to you. People don't leave voicemails anymore.
True. I mean, only the doctor and the spam call leaves a voicemail.
It's true.
That's true.
There's going to be big things from here on out. And so Leah leaves. And she's like, by the way, I love the suit.
I am interested. I want to know what Gretchen wanted to use Leah for. Like, what was part three and what was Leah going to be part of? They like putting their little season three tentacles in. I think I might be a little hooked.
The tenties.
No, not that one.
sorry. Okay. Bad fungus.
Yeah, I mean, I was intrigued by this. Don't get me wrong. So then Gretchen answers the phone. And then the way the music shifts, literally, if anybody has seen the show The Genius, felt like The Genius. Where, what's the name of the song? Grace, do you know the name of the song?
It's a Moby song, isn't it? Song.
Something ways. Anyway, and it's like, that's not how it goes, but it's like that. And
Dreamways, is that right?
Please. Thank you. That's it. Mm-hmm. And then we flashback and we just hear Ben Folds say, if people think you're a child, act like it. And so we see flashbacks to Leah when she's being interrogated in the bunker. She stands up and she sees over into the file folder and she sees Dawn of Eve. And then when she's fighting with Dan and a nurse, she steals his card so that she could get into the room with Roth and hide under his bed. And then she has the phone, which she makes a call to Ian. And she, as she's walking down the hall, she's like, I'm now the HBIC. And she steals Dan's strawberry daiquiri. And I was living for Leah.
I was like, I like Leah in this scene. I'm a little like, I can't tell how smart the show thinks I am. Because you called this last episode. You were like, yeah, it's obviously like, and I guess maybe if you're on a binge, like this is like what, like 40 minutes later. So like, you know, we haven't like sat with it for like a kind of a day like we have. But it's like, we really did the whole, like, here's how she did everything. It's like, I don't even, the stuff I'm like getting into Roth's, I don't even, we already know she got in there. Why do I need to see how
it was just showing how smart she was about the whole thing. That's what it was. It was in summation, you know, like when you write an essay at the very end, you're like, in conclusion, that's what this is.
Today, this TED Talk has been about Leah. Yeah, I did.
This worked for me.
I did.
What was that?
Speak up, Grace. It kind of worked. Like, I did feel a little bit the way I think Grace is feeling of just like, yeah, okay, like I get it. I mean, we kind of saw her do some of this, or we saw her like doing some of the steps, but I'm a sucker for like a look how I did it and show your work, and like it feels very what was the show that used to do it? I think it was Scandal, when they would have like a reveal and they just show you and it's like so over the top and you're like, yeah,
yeah,
right, fine.
Yeah, but I was loving it's like it. You're getting new information.
Yeah, this no, gives I know.
Us,
other I
know. Than like getting a strawberry daiquiri, we have no new information.
Listen,
here.
That
well,
daiquiri...
this was new information. It explains how she knew the name Dawn of Eve because she was looking over into the file folder.
But she found the she found the video at the end of season one.
Who is Dawn like, of Eve?
We found the she found the whole cameras of all the boys. Like this, like
I liked it. I just liked her like boss B moment where she's just, you know what? I pictured her like walking down the hall to that. What's that like TikTok? It's like, I'm a bad bitch. Something, oh, something, something.
Sassy, bougie, ratchet.
Yes,
yeah.
I just
I'm a savage. I'm a savage. Yeah, yeah, that's what
I'm a. Yeah, that's the one.
Right.
This made me think that the show thinks I'm not smart. Is how I felt about the scene of like we tricked you. Here's how it actually happened. It's like, but you already we already did all that stuff. We already know it all happened.
We know she's a savage.
I liked it.
I don't know, Ben. I don't know. I want to know how Ben Folds felt about it, but I guess we'll see.
So we see Ian go into the FBI office. He's like, oh, they told me to come in here. Meanwhile, Leah's finishing up her DAC looking all smug when all the lights go out and there's like clink, clink, clunk. Sorry, it's more like clunk because all the doors are unlocking. Mm-hmm. And so she opens the door and the hallway is lit up. And so she runs down the hall, runs into Fatten, and then Henry and Kieran show up. And of course, Leah's like, oh, that's just Henry and Kieran, you know.
How do you know her names? My name's Kendall McDickface, actually.
Kendall McDickface, yes. And so they end up in this big room that has a stage on it. There's like a disco ball, balloons. It looks like a high school dance, basically. Yeah. And all the girls hug. Shelby and Tony see each other. And Tony's like, oh, I like your hair. And so of course we hear Gretchen's voice and Leah's like, don't trust her. Don't trust her. Mm-hmm. It's great. Mm-hmm. And Gretchen's like, welcome to the revolution. This is where the bleak present becomes the bright future. You are the promise of a new world. And now we begin. And so Leah's like, we have to find her. And so, she like runs out and Roth's like, yeah, like she's trustworthy. Cause Cottie's like, I don't know.
Were they always going to have Gretchen come out, but it was just going to be recorded? She was going to lip sync this? Why was it recorded? How did they have a video? How did they have a recording of Gretchen's voice saying?
Because they just recorded it after she found out that Leah went to someone and that someone went to the FBI. She recorded this last minute.
All right, we're being caught by the FBI. What are we going to do first? We better record a voiceover.
And they did a lot of shredding, right? Wasn't there like shredded paper?
Yeah, there was shredded paper everywhere.
Like, they had a lot of time.
We better set up a dance.
Well, because they said that they had a mole at the FBI.
Yes. We better do a voiceover.
I did catch.
Listen, I'm not saying it all works for me because it certainly doesn't all work for me. Like, you make valid points, but that's just, I don't know.
That's what happened. That's what was happening at the FBI. But what about at the HBIC? What was happening there?
Snazzy, bougie, ratchet.
In Canada, we have a bank called the RBIC, and sometimes I think of that. And I think I should switch banks.
Arby's,
just because.
Arby's Bank.
Arby's, yeah.
It's a bank run by Arby's. Yeah, but like, just like, all right, we got the FBI. We committed a lot of crimes here. So, like, what should we do first? So, I'll do a voiceover. So that we can. So that when they run into the room, we got at least have a voiceover.
Maybe this was already recorded. Like, maybe she was never planning on being in the room.
And let's just before people come for me, I did like the finale. It's just like, I just think this is like so silly.
It is definitely silly. And so, right. So they're running around. All the rooms are empty. Gretchen gets out of an airplane with the sneaks on and the white suit. It's a look. Devin is there and she's like, come here, Devin. Did you get what you wanted? Did you hurt me? You hurt me the way you did? Do you feel how you needed to feel? And he's like, I'm sorry, Mom. And so they hug. And then she says, this is interesting. She says, we forgive you. We don't forget. Oh, wait, no. What did I write? I didn't write
this.
Yeah,
she says
right.
She says we don't. It's so weird because I was like, who is the we? Like, I guess
who's
she's talking about both of them.
We forgive you.
We forget.
But we don't forget.
I'm like, Who?
Who's we?
You in the white suit? Who is the we? The sneaks.
Maybe she's such an HBIC now that she's become two people.
Yes, that makes sense.
Ooh.
Snazzy, white suit, sneakers.
That's good.
I love this remix. I love this remix.
Everyone hates it. So she's like, get on the plane. So he gets on the plane. And then Dean gets out and she's like, you know what happens now, Dean, don't you? You effed me over, Dean. I'm not sure how you did it, but you effed me. So like he gave Leah the phone, right? Like that's.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. And she says, this is your ride and your pink slip. You're headed to your apartment and your daughter's going to be waiting there. Hooray. But if you tell anybody about this, I'll take her away.
Yikes. Yikes. Yikes.
Big time yikes.
Yikes.
Yeah, don't love it.
Yeah, so he picks up his bags and he goes. And then Blake, whose name I think is something else, but I've just known him as Alex. Blake for so long.
I believe this is Alex.
His name is Alex. It's very community test. His name is, my name is Alex.
But like, doesn't he introduce himself as Blake to them?
He on the plane where
he's about to just drug them with cake. He's like, yeah, I'm going to use Blake, that name in case they wake
Blake
up.
Gives
Blake
out the
with
cake.
The cake. Blake, yeah. Wait, don't people call asses cake?
Yes.
What?
Okay, yes, cake by the ocean. Yeah.
I might be old.
I'm the same age as you.
Can confirm.
I know, yeah, so he's old. Blake with the cake. Like, ooh, we got a nice tush.
Right.
I mean, I haven't seen it. But...
I wasn't paying attention when Seth was punching him out earlier. Tush,
no. Ooh, nice butt.
Mm-hmm. Ew.
Ooh, nice butt.
Oh, the butt.
But this is my punching sound.
But the butt. It's pretty good.
One.
It's pretty
good. It was really good. So Blake's like, what's going to happen now? And Gretchen's like, the show must go on. They'll be running things smoothly. The show always goes on. Phase 3 is happening. It's taking on a different shape. And then she says, a whole new control group has sprung up without me even having to lift a finger. And then he's like, but didn't you take out the bugs and surveillance? And she's like, you know me better than that. She's like, I have someone running things now. And yeah,
somebody
this is
who's very trustworthy.
So I'm confused. Is the control group the guys and the girls combined, or is it a different group? Okay.
I guess so. Like, but my initial, before we see them, I got excited. I was like, I was right. We're going to meet a third group of people. Like, my stupid joke bared fruit, but it's just the three of them.
I don't think Gretchen knows what control group means.
Yeah. No. That's why I was confused, because I was like, how is this a control group?
Like a group you can control, because you can like watch them and manipulate them.
That is absolutely what she thought. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then we see the boys and the girls are on the roof. It's an island. Leah screams. And then the person running things is Seth. And he is like, all his face is all beaten up and he just smiles at the camera. And I was pissed.
Didn't Leah know they were on an island? She always get her GPS and like, we're off the coast of Fiji or something, right?
I think she thought that in a more, not like such a remote location though.
Like this was a hotel.
Yes.
I'll take Hotel California, shuttle, please. You can't leave. Oh, yeah, the Seth. Yeah,
I hate it.
Kill somebody.
Yeah, kill him. Seize him and kill him.
Get him.
Yeah, please.
Whatever.
Whenever.
I have to say, I do think like the Seth storyline has been like, it was certainly sort of the weakest for me. I do think the actor is very good.
Nothing bad to say about him.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. I agree with that.
I just think like
Alex Fitzalan. Yeah.
Overall, for me, all of the high points were the girls' island, and most of the boys' island was like low for me because the boys just weren't usually very redeemable. Very few characters were redeemable, and they just didn't have the light energy that the girls had, even in times of peril. Like the girls still like had the jokes and it was fun. And so that's why it just didn't, this season like didn't, I don't know. I didn't hate it, but it didn't make me very thrilled about the potential of a season 3. Like, I'm just very nervous about seeing how they screwed up season 2. I'm just very nervous about what they would do for a season 3, you know?
Yeah, I think that there is enough there. Like, I th- I do feel a little bit. I think that if you remove Scotty and Bo, I think that feels a little bit like everybody else. I'm kind of invested in some
Scotty
way.
Scotty's gotta go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think everybody else I'm like fairly invested in. I think I love Ivan.
I'm invested in Ivan.
I think I'm just as in Ralph.
I'm not invested.
Oh, you could kill Seth, right? When I say this, I'm like, yeah, you kill Bo, Seth, and Scotty. No, you'll kill. You have to kill Bo or Scotty, but whatever.
I'm more invested in Marisol than I am in
oh my God. Marisol, where are you? Marisol. I thought she was going to be the person in charge. Like, not.
Yeah,
that would have been fun.
Oh, great. So I did read some reviews, and it really, the general consensus is like, the girl stuff really worked and the boy stuff didn't, which like sometimes it's like, oh, I thought, you know, maybe,
no,
we,
that's
like,
how I
maybe
feel.
We weren't, maybe we weren't seeing something. Somebody else, I know that there are people out there who was like, were as excited, like we're more excited, I think, than us about their boys being a part of the show.
I was open to it. Like, I feel like after one episode, if I went back and listened to that podcast, I was pretty open to like, oh, okay. I'm like pleasantly surprised. Mm-hmm. And then it was like,
I do think there's a world where like two more episodes does really, really help them. I do feel like this season felt pretty constrained. Like they have so much to do with two less episodes that I just think that like, yeah. So I blame Amazon Prime for that. Yeah, I saw a lot of stuff that was like, you know, why did we take the premise that we really liked and then just change it? And I was like, yeah, that's a fair point. I think overall, I think sounds like I might be the highest on season three, because I think now that we're invested in them, at least some of them, I do think the dynamics between these two groups, like we have now got two seasons of the girls being together, and I am interested in like there being like the crossover between the boys and the girls, like. I would have also been interested if it like was like a bunch of new, like a bunch of new girls who then like were, but that's not where the show is. Right. So I think I'm fairly excited by it. I didn't hate this season. I just thought there was moments where I was like, I don't really know what we're doing. And so, yeah, I come out of it like certainly not as high as the season one. I don't think it was bad by any means, but
I were to give like season one a 10 out of 10, because I loved it so much, I would give season two like a 6.5 out of 10. Like that's where I think I'm at. Maybe a 7 if I'm being generous on that day. Like
pretty average for IMDb.
But that's what I'm saying. It's average. Yeah. It's not bad. It, like I said, it was my expectations that really messed me up because I loved season one. Right. But like I will say, if they're going to do a season three, they best be giving me some girl flashbacks, because otherwise I'm going to be pissed.
I think we're done with the flashbacks, but Ariel, what do you think?
I think similar to you, Grace, I feel like we can't get any worse in season two. I mean, knock on wood, I don't want to jinx it, but like now, to your point, now that the girls and the boys are together, the boys are automatically more interesting because the girls are there, and like they will probably mine some really great stuff in these new pairs. Like we like to talk about pairs, mealy pairs, between like the boys and the girl. I mean, between the girls and the girls, or the boys and the boys. But now we might get some interesting pairs, platonic ones, please, between the boys and the girls. So I'm interested. I want it to end after season three, but if there is going to be one. So I'm cautiously optimistic, but I feel like there's no way it's not better than season two is kind of how I feel.
Jess, you see, I feel like you're a bit like, I feel like the way you talk about season three is that like, you're almost like hesitant to, but that you want it. Is it?
Yeah. I mean, like, that's the thing. I'm just so nervous that like, they aren't going to learn from the mistakes of this season. But if they've seen the press about it, if they've seen the reviews, I'm just hoping, I guess here's the thing. They didn't kill Seth. I'm not happy about it. However, like you said, Grace, if he is now the big bad and it's not the like, oh, let's sympathize with the assault guy. Like, yeah, fun. Like if he is like the big bad, if he is the bad guy and it's them against Seth, maybe I'm here for it. I just am nervous that they're going to fall into some of the pitfalls that this season had. But like if they don't do flashbacks, maybe we'll get some flash forwards. Like I'd be into that. I don't know. I'm I'm iffy on it right now. Maybe if I had some time away from the season, my answer might be a little bit different, right? Like when it's been a few months and I'm like, I could use another season of The Wilds. But I do think I'd want it to be back to the 10 episodes. Like, I feel like that 10 episodes is what you need. The 8 episodes didn't feel like enough when you're balancing so many characters.
Yeah, I think if they don't add the boys, I do think like 8 is can probably work. A lot of shows are going with the 8 episode a season. I don't know. I just feel like I would be I think there's been a lot of shows that have struggled in the, you know, this like the sophomore slump of the season 2. Not quite, you know, moving away from what the thing was, expanding the world a little bit too much. I mean, notoriously, like a show that we've compared this show to a lot, Lost, brings out the others in season 2. It's like, and at the other, they're like, also, did you know there's a whole other half of the plane and those people are around? You're like,
the Tailies. Who are going to be the Tailies in season 3? Oh my
God. No Tailies. That's what you're saying.
More people.
So, I'd be kind of disappointed, like, because I think there's enough good here, and that if they can realize like what people didn't really resonate with this season and can sort of find that season 1 magic, that I actually would be excited. And I do kind of think that like I'd be pretty disappointed if like that is the last Wilds episode, like that's how it ended. Yeah. So
that's fair. Yeah. That's fair. I'm open to it. I feel like 3 seasons 4 max, right? Like I don't think this needs to go on forever.
No.
I will say like, a lot of the girl characters that I wasn't connecting with as much in season 1, like I love all of the girl characters now. Like whereas before I would say like, Rachel, like Leah was like, not so. No, now I'm like, yes, full force, love them all. Bring them all back. I want to see what's going on with Nora. Weird that they didn't have another scene with Nora. Like, is she with Gretchen? Like, where even is she? You know, like that feels very unresolved to me. So I'm in it for that. I want to know what's going on with that.
Yeah. And I just got to say, like, I am a sucker for a show being able to quote unquote, right a wrong, like as far as like having like a bad season or, you know, like a really bad storyline that like went south, but then they're able to kind of afterwards mine something new from it or like create a new context around it or whatever. Like, I think the biggest example for me recently is like Mr. Robot season 2 was like famously quote unquote not as good.
Oh yeah.
And then for me, like season 3, not only was it better, it actually fixed so much of season 2 and made season 2 in retrospect feel really important. So I just like, not that that's easy to pull off, but when a show can do something like that, it's pretty effective for me emotionally.
Yeah. Yeah.
True Detective. There's a ton of shows that have really bad. I talk a lot about Westworld really struggling in the second season. True Detective obviously goes like in a total
Westworld like, anthology. For sure. Yeah.
But they have a really pretty bad second season. Isn't Friday Night Lights the second season a little bit?
Okay, my hot take with Friday Night Lights season 2 is it was not that bad, and I don't get what all the Bishop is about. But whatever, that's just me.
Prison Break season 2 is Heroes. A lot of shows have struggled.
Well, that was during the writers.
Well, some of these shows never recovered. So I don't want to, you know, like I don't want to put these
Heroes.
Like I think Westworld recovered, in my opinion. Heroes.
Anyway, just saying, it's pretty common.
Yeah. JS.
Pretty common. All right, well, that
yes, early.
That is our coverage of The Wilds. We did it.
No.
We did it.
I'm so sad
you guys are going to miss
now.
Me so
I'm so sad now. The three
it always
us.
Sucks when you finish a binge pod because you're like, oh, but my friends. It's like when you go to camp, Grace. Like, it really feels like a camp situation.
It does actually feel like that.
After
friends.
All that rigmarole, here we are.
So much rigmarole.
And whether the listeners, whether you liked the season or you were maybe a little bit down on it, like we were in some ways, so we hope you enjoyed our podcasting coverage of it. But we all collectively podcast a lot. So, Jess, what else you got going on?
Oh my gosh, plugs.
We haven't done them in some days. I know.
I podcast here on Posha Recaps. Every week I've been covering The Flight Attendant with my co-host Sarah Ferguson. We've been having a ton of fun covering season 2 of that show, which I argue is better than season 1.
Ooh, a little reverse.
I'm excited to catch up.
Yes, it's very good. And then we're taking a little bit of a hiatus, but usually I'm podcasting about community on community building with Josh Wiggler. We're on season 3 there. That's been tons of fun. And then, of course, you can always find me on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, covering Dawson's Creek, Boy Meets World, and a whole mess of other 90s content. You could find us at Shit 90s Pod, and you could find me on Twitter at the Jess Sterling. But honestly, if you want to get in touch with me, you know where the best place to do it is? The Post Show Recaps Patreon Discord. where is that child coming from? So yes, that's where you can find me most of the time. I'm in the Discord literally all the time. You could tag me there and I will always see it and I will respond because I like to chat with people. So pushyourrecaps.com/patreon if that's something that you're into.
It's still the first half of the month and Patreon charges you for whatever day of the month you set up, you get charged for that month. So just be wary of that. But the sooner in the month you do it, the more content you get for that month. Bonus pods, a great community that you can have access to, merch at higher levels. So
right this second, right this second, as we speak, there is a live watch of the movie Moulin Rouge in the movie club. So I'm just saying it's always something going on.
There is.
Yeah. Ariel, what about you?
Let's see. I am on Twitter at that other Ariel. I am covering The Staircase, the HBO limited series with Marissa, my co-host, every week. We are just now going to, you know, they did a 3-episode drop at the top and now we're into weekly, thank God. So we'll be covering episode 4 soon for this week. And I cover movies with Grace every week, although we are also similar to community building. We are on a tiny bit of a hiatus, but we will be back next week. And I think that's everything. I'll miss my friends.
Yeah. We finished up our coverage of Winning Time this week. So the HBO show with the Los Angeles Lakers. I feel like not super talked about, but it was really fun. And the people in the Discord who watched it really liked it. So I feel like it's a show that people will find later and binge. It's well worth binging. It was very fun. I also do sports coverage over on Rob Has a Podcast with the Off Speed Podcast. We dive into different worlds of sports and sports stories. Last week we covered Australian rules football with Peter Gus. And next year, I'm going to be talking with a fellow patron, Aiden, about hurdling, an Irish sport that I'm very excited to chat about. So that will be fun. I think also Mike Bloom will be making a cameo on that pod to try. We're going to try and find Mike Bloom a baseball team to follow. So that'll be fun.
Ooh, like an experiment? And that sounds fun.
Yeah, really like a little BuzzFeed-y type quiz. We'll see what team he
picks. A listicle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also covering The Shining Girls with Melissa and Dr. Amanda. I guess Dr. Melissa, too.
Dr. Erasure.
I know. I apologize.
Do you feel inadequate on that podcast being surrounded by doctors, Grace?
Oh, it's the most fun. Like I think I'm 4 for 4 in making Amanda like actually grown. So that's my
success.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah.
Amazing.
I'll make a really bad joke and you're like, yeah, but I was talking about smart brain stuff. You interrupted me. So, but it's very fun. So anything else I'm doing, which I'm sure I'm forgetting, I play D&D on twitch.tv/DMPhilly at least once a week, sometimes twice a week. This week, I think 3 times a week. We played a Star Wars RPG, and then we played Dragonfly, which is D&D in space. And then this Friday, we'll be playing as little furry creatures living in the woods. I play a raccoon, so come check it out. It's very fun. That's what I got going on. That's what we all have going on. And you know what? Typically, I end this podcast by singing a song that has the word wild in it. But I think for old time's sake, we'll just end the pod by saying, what's the dealio?